We moved along the western front, broken towns and thriving cities. On my first trip to the US, I was not expecting to visit a small city in the northern part of the country called Missoula. But for my surprise, that city turned to be amazingly beautiful, and certainly I was not expecting to find a restaurant that had great tamales and an expert brew master that used to make beer in the Maya Riviera of Mexico. Welcome to Culinaria Nacional. I'm Ubish, chef and culinary explorer. And in some of the next episodes, I will start to explore how Mexican food has adapted to the US palate, because not everything is just Tex-Mex and taco shells anymore. And I have to say a really special thanks to my dear friend David that he invited me to visit his hometown. Without you, this episode will not be possible. Apparently, Missoula now is big on the tourism industry, but only in the summer. And it didn't take me long to see why Montana is called the Big Sky Country. With all the outdoors activities that you can do here, you can easily spend 2 weeks without getting bored. In fact, I felt that I needed more time to explore. On my trip, I was able to explore Glacier National Park and behold the amazing mountains, lakes, and rivers created by the melted glaciers on the summer. To drive all over the beautiful road that crosses all the way to Canada and visit Waterton Lake. After, we came back to Missoula and visit some amazing hot springs, and then in the city we did some traditional tubing on the river. But anyway, if you want to have a more visual help of my trip, I will leave a link to a video that I made from this vacation. Another one of my culinary highlights was discover huckleberries. A unique kind of berry that has an amazing flavors. I visited the farmers market that happens on Saturdays and it was a great atmosphere, but I felt it that all finished pretty early. But on Thursday, there was a great food truck event on Carras Park that was great for starting the party night. I went to a brewery called Imagination, love the game on words here, and all the staff was pretty friendly and chatty. And then I met Aaron Watson. It was pretty cool that he was doing beer to open a place in Playa del Carmen. I used to live there around 5 years ago. We talked about his experience and he had pretty good Spanish. So I visited him on Draftworks, the brewery that he makes beer now in Missoula. He has a pretty cool story that took him to make beer.
You know, I'm currently a brewer here at Draftworks Brewery in Missoula, Montana. But going back to the old days, I actually grew up next to a brewmaster when I was a child. So I was destined to be a brewer from day one.
Wow.
I probably brewed my first batch of beer when I was 14 or 15 years old. My neighbor was named Brian Smittel. He owns a brewery in Austin, Thirsty Planet. So I brewed with him for years in Norman. This old brewery called Coaches. He taught me the ropes and gave me all the grunt work when I was younger. But it gave me an appreciation for how much hard work went into crafting a good beer. So I did that, you know, here and there, helping him out. I couldn't necessarily be employed at the brewery because I was 14 years old. So yeah,
child laboring, though.
So I would just help him out here and there throughout high school. But like I said, give me appreciation for beer, give me a little greater understanding of the industry, and it's more about beer and connecting people and all those sorts of things.
So you can imagine the quality of the beer that he makes. I tried a tomatillo sour, which was pretty interesting, and I loved the blood orange goose, but my favorite was Soul City. This was a Kolsch style. So even that it's a huge tourism industry in the Maya Riviera, there is not actually a small microbrewery in Playa del Carmen. Even this was a few years back, Watson tells me that the only one that he could find was all the way to Merida, that it's like 3 hours driving from Playa del Carmen. Watson mentioned about the creativity and ingenuity that Mexicans we have, and definitely he's not wrong.
But not everything is pretty. Here in Mexico, there are only two big companies that own all the beer brands that exist in the commercial market, including Pacifico, Bohemia, Modelo, Dos Equis, all of them. They are the hand of God here. They control the beer industry. So, when you try to put a direct competition against these guys, you might run with certain difficulties. Watson tells us his story.
On the other hand, a difficult part that I didn't account for was the power of the big beer players there. You have the big beer players here in the United States have quite a bit of power. But there are some laws that help regulate it, whether or not they do a great job. I think that's for another discussion. But in Mexico, there's really not a lot. So they can really throw their weight around. And sometimes it was really frustrating. You know, we were just a local craft brewery trying to get our foot in the door. And then Grupo Modelo just comes and smashes you down and says, well, if you put this craft beer on, we're not going to have our beer at your bar at all. And obviously the bar owner's like, oh, you know, they don't want to do that. Or them wanting just to pay them straight cash to not have our beer on. Or you have some safeguards against that in the United States. But it was difficult. They had a lot of power and were able to flex it. But we were able to find some niche markets, most of them being with chefs of more, you know, medium to upscale restaurants that were appreciated good food. I think they also appreciated the amount of work that went into good beer. And they were like, yeah, you know, I'm willing to take a gamble and put your, you know, sell your beer. And, you know, it's definitely more expensive than, you know, the other beers you're going to get, the Mexico national brands. So that was one step I didn't really foresee. I knew it would be hard to get on some places, but I thought more that would be on owners' decisions. But seeing Grupo Modelo come in and just, you know,
yeah,
was hard. But it's growing pains and you kind of learn to deal with it and you've got to make it work.
Yeah.
So we made it work, you know, found the places we needed to be and talked to the right people. And, you know, there was a good community there that was willing to support, and it's still going today. So.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Sadly, Watson is off the radar with no social media. So just consider yourself lucky if you bump with him. As I arrived to the US, the first thing that was on my mind to eat was a burrito. I have had them in Mexico City before. You can get them on every 7-Eleven. But I was always curious to taste them, and especially to see and figure out what the people used to expect as Mexican food in other countries. It was not bad actually, but it didn't taste Mexican. I tried it on the airport, on a restaurant called Café Rio, because a friend recommended it to me. Then, I always wanted to try taco shells, because in Mexico City, that doesn't exist. I tried it, and it was pretty interesting. It was hard to eat, so I did not understand why this style of food was even started to be considered Mexican in the first place. Anyway, the days were passing by, and I was starting to miss my food pretty bad. And then, many persons started to recommend me a Mexican restaurant that sold a more authentic version of tacos. Even making their own tortillas on a tortilla hand-pressed and cooked by a comal, like the real style. And also have heard that they sold tamales and even pozole. I got pretty curious and excited to visit this place and met the owner. I give a special thanks here to Shelby for getting me in touch with Kim West, the owner of Tia's Big Sky. Her background with Mexican food, it started pretty different to what I was expected.
Well, I'm from Southern California, and we spent all of our weekends running down to Ensenada to surf and eat tacos from taco stands and fresh lobster from the sea and camp on the beaches and come back with mezcal and bottles of tequila. And so it was the culture I was raised in, yeah. And my friends were Mexican. And it's an intense flavorful, well-cooked food.
Yeah.
And it's undeniable. It's one of the best kind of cuisines there are.
Yeah.
So it can go very, very deep. It can go light. It can go to all those different places. And so
it's easy to fall in love with.
It's easy to fall in love with.
And by the way, we were in the middle of the service in a table of her restaurant, and it was amazing to see how at lunchtime, the line of people started to grow pretty fast, and most of the clients that I saw were new clients, highly recommended by friends to come and try her dishes. It was a friendly and cozy atmosphere, with a different sensation of all the other restaurants that I have visited on my trip. Honestly, I only felt the same vibe in the Five Guys burger joint. Don't know exactly how to explain it, but it was the kind of a place where you don't wanna order food to go. You wanna eat it and enjoy it here. In both of my interviews, with Watson and with Kim, I love to hear that they were really happy on their trips of Mexico with how the Mexicans treated them. They found that we are friendly, creative, ingenious persons. And like every other part of the world, not everyone is like that, but most of us are.
Traveling in Mexico, you almost don't need to go anyplace else in the world. It's like going around the world being in Mexico.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, place to place, it's like everyone's like a new country.
Yeah.
And I love the diversity of Mexico.
Yeah.
The diversity of the food, the traditions, and the people. I mean, you know, if you travel right now in Mexico and people, you know, they're not going to go, oh my God, you have Trump for president. Look what's happening. It's like, you know what? It's all messed up. It's messed up here too. You know, I feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they don't take it personally.
No.
You know, in Mexico, it's like, it's not like, oh, you're the cause of that. They get it.
Yeah.
That it's, every place is like messed up in its own way.
Yeah, that's why.
And they're accepting.
Understand it, because we also have shitty politics.
Yeah.
What else I was going to say? I forgot.
The food experience of her. I mean, I was in Yalapa last year.
In where?
In Yalapa.
Ah, really?
Oh, yeah. And there's a little, I think this place, I think it's called Abuelitas.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I mean, I ate there every night for 10 days and had something different. I was just like, are you open yet? I'm going to try that fish. I mean, it was just like, everything was like a different night. It was something else that was fresh, that was beautiful, you know, and it was like, there was no hubbub about it. It was just like, it was just the place to go. It wasn't over the top.
I haven't been there, actually.
I love it because you can't drive. You only walk in Yalapa. There's no roads.
Yeah, you arrive by a boat, I think, or something like that.
You go on Puerto Vallarta, you take a taxi.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, water taxi to Yalapa.
Wow.
Yeah. You can take a bus the back way, but and then you have to get in like with a cart or something. But
sure.
Nothing like arriving on a boat to someplace and not being able to drive.
Yeah.
She has had her food truck for 5 years and the restaurant for 2.5 years. I tried a couple of dishes and my favorite was the pork tamal and the mole taco with handmade tortillas. Kim also has her food truck on the farmer's market that I highly recommend to visit the restaurant especially. I really expect to come back to Missoula, obviously in the summer, especially to try more beers there. This was everything on today's episode. I hope that you enjoy it. Please follow me on my Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as Ubi Jaren and as Culinaria Nacional on Instagram. On my next trip, I am expecting to visit New York City and Chicago. Till next time. The way she smiled, she had a smirk like Mona Lisa.